everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Comic Source. I'm Jace. This episode is an interview I did with writer Gary Phillips at San Diego Comic-Con regarding his upcoming series from DC Comics, Vigilante Southland. Now, all you longtime listeners of the podcast know that I'm a big fan of Vigilante, specifically the Adrian Chase version, the classic version that debuted in George Perez and Marv Wolfman's Teen Titans title way back in the day, spun out into his own 50-issue title. It was an incredibly complex and morally ambiguous story about kind of the heroic rise and incredible downfall of the Adrian Chase character. I read it when I was about probably 13, 14 years old. That was about the time frame, and maybe even 12 when it first started, when I first picked it up. And it just had a huge impact on me. It really was the first comic I read that really showed me that the medium could be more than just superheroes, that it could be this really compelling form of storytelling, and through pictures and words really evoke emotion beyond just kind of the, you know, cartoony superheroes that I had come to view comics as from, you know, coming at them from being a fan of the Super Friends and Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends and that kind of thing. That Vigilante series was really impactful on me, and it's that character and that series have always had a special place in my heart. So DC has introduced various versions of Vigilante over the years. None of them have quite lived up to that initial series. And for various reasons, I mean, it's kind of hard to catch lightning in a bottle, you know, another time. And I, you know, first of all, the sales on that series weren't, you know, great. It didn't, you know, burn the house down or anything. And I think it's definitely overlooked, and it certainly stands the test of time. But they've tried different things with these reboots of the character, and I don't feel that any of them have worked necessarily that well. But I'm really thinking that this time they may have something special with the premise. So I'm not going to spoil it for you. You can listen to Gary tell you about it. Now, Gary's worked in comics before, but he's mostly known for being a writer of crime fiction. So you'll hear him talk about his background a little bit and how he got into the project. And I really feel like this might be kind of the closest to the original version that we've seen so far. Of all the reboots, so I'm really looking forward to it. It was great to meet Gary, really nice guy, really excited about the project, so I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I'll certainly keep all listeners of the podcast up to date when Vigilante Southland gets close to being, I'll let you know when it's solicited so you can pre-order it, and also when it's getting close to being released so you can look out for it at your LCS. So I want to thank Gary for his time. I want to thank everyone for listening. You can visit us at our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, for all past episodes of the podcast, as well as episodes of our YouTube channel. You can find our sketch gallery there, my written blog, Manny's written blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. We really could use some more likes on our Facebook page. Just do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook. That's us. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, do a search for The Comic Source there as well. Those social media sites are really the best way to know when we put up new episodes. I always am sure to post on Twitter and Facebook whenever that happens. And also our Instagram page is a great way to follow us when we're at conventions and see what we see at the conventions, pictures of us doing interviews with creators we get a chance to talk to, cosplay, and just the conventions in general. So once again, thanks everyone for your support. If you're listening to us on iTunes, we really appreciate those 5-star reviews. So I hope you enjoy the interview, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source. I'm here with writer Gary Phillips. How are you doing today, Gary?
I'm fine, Jace. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So really exciting news. You're going to be doing a new Vigilante series.
Correct. That's right. We're going to start with a 6-issue miniseries that kind of reintroduces the character. As you and I were just talking, it's kind of a whole new take on him. But for some of the people who are really familiar with the character, particularly going back to the Greg Saunders days of the 40s as the cowboy character, and then even into, I guess that was the 80s, right? It was the late right, 80s, uh-huh. right? Kind of, but angst-driven vigilante. Some of that, some of those tropes will carry over now into this new version of the vigilante, young black man from the neighborhood in L.A., Donnie Fairchild.
Now, your background is in crime.
Crime fiction, that's crime right, fiction that's right. Mostly. Right.
So
right.
Is this your first foray into a comic?
No, it's not, actually. I've done a couple of ventures with Vertigo.
Okay.
Will Dennis, who's not no longer at Vertigo, but was my editor there, and we did the Angel Town miniseries, which was the Private Eye miniseries. Maybe that's, oh my goodness, that might even be a decade ago now. And then more recently, we did, for a while, if you remember, Vertigo had, for a brief moment in time, a great moment in time, had this Crime Line series where we did these original hardback, digest-size crime novels, graphic novels, and I did one for them called Cowboys. And I've done some stuff for Oni as well as for Boom.
Cool. Well, I think based on your background and the things you've done before, you're the perfect fit for Vigilante. And especially like they use the word when you're describing the Adrian Chase series of angst.
Yes.
Because that I mean, that's the thing. With that particular character, he knew he was taking the law into his own hands, and he knew he shouldn't be.
That's right.
But he couldn't help himself.
But he couldn't help himself. That's right. That's
so
right.
Is that,
of course, it finally drives him nuts, right? But
right,
yeah, that's
exactly.
right.
So is that something you're going to be exploring with this new character?
There's some of that with Donnie, with this incarnation of Vigilante, but more to the point, what drives our character, I guess what drives a lot of characters, of course, is the guilt that they feel over an action or inaction. And in his case, and I'm not giving too much away because I think this is in the press release, in his case, his girlfriend is killed early on, but it's under mysterious circumstances, and this is what propels him forward to sort of essentially pick up the mantle that she was already carrying and move it forward.
Now, it's interesting to bring this character back now as opposed to the mid-80s, let's say. When the Marv Wolfman Vigilante series kind of had its heyday.
Yes.
Because that was sort of, you know, the Bernard Goetz, the Vigilante
right,
on
that's
the
right.
subway.
That exactly.
Kind of, and now, it seems like we live in a world where we're more desensitized to violence. There's so much violence going on. So that series, if you took that series and released it today, I don't know that it would be so groundbreaking.
You would have
I don't even know that they would necessarily put it under a mature
label. Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's almost like you're going to have to up the game for Donnie.
Well, I think, but you're right, you can only take that so far because you're right, because then you don't want to do it for just the mere aspect of shock value
right.
or just the mere aspect of, like, you know, what it's going to hook the reader but not have a story. So what we're all about is, as I said, these sort of this thing that happens to his girlfriend, but it's also, when we present Donnie, he's kind of more, I mean, he's going to have an arc too, because he's really more of a slacker kind of character. He's more of this guy, he's just having a good time, he's a young man in his 20s, he plays basketball, you know, at the neighborhood park, he has his medical marijuana card, so he's just about kind of easing through life. And so something, and so when this thing happens, he realizes, damn man, I gotta step up, I can't ignore this, I can't just, this is not something I can just goes away, right? Black Lives Matter is happening around him, other things are happening around him, but Donnie's not that kind of guy. Like I said, he's an easygoing guy, but when this thing happens, when it happens to his girlfriend, when it happens to somebody he does care about, he understands he can't turn his back on it. And there's other reveals, but we'll get to that when they get to the story.
That's very interesting that it's so relevant. Like you said, you mentioned Black Lives Matter. It's
right.
I mean, but you know, violence, police violence, you know,
right.
violent, the retaliation, that's all in the news. It's
all
in the headlines.
Mix. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I've talked several times to John Semper about this.
Oh, yes, yes.
David Walker.
Right, right.
There needs to be role models. There needs to be, and then maybe Donnie's not doing it the right way, and then maybe that's, at the end, the morality tale that you end up telling, you know,
right.
like, you need to get off the side. sidelines. Donnie right. needs to get off the
or
sidelines.
Or you have to make a choice at some point.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Exactly.
Right, right, but what's the right way to do it?
Exactly.
What's the right
what
way
is the right way to
bring value for yourself?
That's right.
To contribute
right.
to the greater good.
Right, and not create chaos.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Well, so you're right. So I think that's part of his journey. And also what's I think a nice little Easter egg or a nice little nugget in the story is going to be there is a link to it past, not the vigilante past, but it's, well, there is a kind of link to the vigilante past, but there's a character. This all, you know, the story takes place in the area that I grew up in, and I know my novels are set usually in the greater Los Angeles area, what we call the Southland.
Uh-huh.
But really, this is a Southland that you don't see normally on film or TV. This is really the Southland you might have, if people watched The Shield, not Agent Shield, but The Shield, mm-hmm. the cop show, they would have seen this part of the Southland. So I'm talking about areas like Compton, I'm talking about Southgate, Southeast LA, places that they don't normally see. And this is partly where the story takes place or unfolds. And for Donnie, there is a connection to an older costume character, but it's a costume character we haven't seen before, kind of a local homeboy. And so all these things get revealed, and all these things then create or become part of his story, part of his journey.
Now, Gary, you said costume character. I noticed that you did not say hero. That's another aspect of vigilante, right?
That's right, that's right.
Like,
that's
is
right.
he a hero?
Is he a hero? That's right.
If,
that's right.
If you're a bad person and you do good things, does that mean
right.
you're, you know,
well,
where is it?
Yeah,
or
right.
conversely, if you're a good person and are doing terrible things for the right reason.
Right, for the right reason, that's right.
That's
right.
something we all struggle
right.
with every day.
That's right.
We, you know,
that's
going
right.
through life. What decision do we make?
Right.
You know, integrity and,
right,
and,
exactly.
and honesty and things like that. So
exactly.
It's what I've always loved about the character. He exists in that gray area.
Right.
It makes you think.
That's
those
right.
are the comics I want to
exactly,
read.
Exactly, exactly. So exactly right. So there's actually a scene, or a couple of scenes actually, where Donnie finds himself in opposition to, you know, some uniformed cops, right? I mean, he's not out to hurt cops, and I'm certainly not, that's certainly not anything we're advocating, but he also understands he can't get caught.
Right.
Not so much that he's worried about getting caught, it's just more about he knows that there's a time pressure on him in terms of solving this case, solving the journey that he's on, that he hasn't completed, and he can't afford to get stopped
right.
in the middle of it.
Right, and
yeah.
then as far as the setting goes, it's interesting the place that it's set in, because that's not necessarily a place that you can go and be authentic. You know,
yeah.
it's hard to take a camera crew into those
right.
places
yeah.
and film,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But in the pages of a comic, you can portray
right.
that accurately.
That's right, right. And I have to say, let me just give props right off the top here to Elena Casagrande, who's the artist on this book. And, you know, Elena's Italian, right? And although she apparently lived in L.A. for a while. But, you know, we've given her a lot of reference material. We've talked a lot of bit about the look and feel of the strip. She's looked at films like Straight Outta Compton, Collateral, some other films, that True Detective 2, that whole second season where it showed Southeast L.A. So that really comes across in the visuals that she's presenting in this book. So I really am feeling really good. I mean, I think readers will really dig it, not only for the story, but just the visual journey they're going to go on.
Okay, and for our listeners that are interested in picking it up, when it's going to be six issue?
Six issue run initially, and I believe the first issue drops October 5th.
Okay, and listeners, you know, as long as you're listening to the Comic Source, you're going to know, because I'll be talking about it.
That's it, Jace. Thank you,
baby.
All right, man.
Thanks for your time, Gary.
Good.